This is the Day Zero update for March 4th, 2018. I'm Flippo Genolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Braden Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And we have a bit of a slow week this week, so we're going to be talking about a lot of rumors and speculation and stupidity. So,
yep.
Yeah, so we're going to have, I think, a lot of fun, because we do have some very intriguing topics to talk about. Before we get to all of those, though, I think we should go over a little bit what we've been doing this week. And for me, it's been kind of the same, Secret of Mana and Injustice 2. Not a whole heck of a lot to add there, but I'm getting closer to being able to review Secret of Mana, so yeah, I expect to see that from me pretty soon. Yeah, spoiler alert, it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yep. So, yep. Yeah, I'm not going to review Injustice 2, because Brandon already did that a long time ago, so go to the site and check out his review of a very good fighting game from Warner Brothers that...
Yep.
Is probably the best representation of the DC universe so far. So, yeah, go figure. Apart from that, not a whole heck of a lot other than site stuff. So, yeah, that's all coming along, and that's pretty much it for me. How about you, Pat?
Mostly the same as last week. Fighting games, fighting games, fighting games, with some site development going on in between. The big addition to that list is Yakuza 6, which I really can't talk about yet, but I'm sure playing it. So, that's out there.
Alright. Well, right. As for me, I'm currently playing, still playing Kingdom Come Deliverance. I should have my review draft done by later on tonight, so you'll be seeing that sometime this week on the site. Pretty much me desperately trying to write a review without it turning into a giant history lesson, so that's going to be nice and fun.
Welcome to my career.
Yep.
Phil knows.
Oh, uh-huh. Yep. And of course, also playing Splatoon 2, because I have that now, and it's one of those games that if you're kind of OCD, it's hard to play because you're kind of compelled to just cover every last ounce you can, last bit of surface you come in contact with your ink, and and there's a joke in there somewhere, I know, but I just
leaving that one right there.
Just got to dig it out there somewhere, but that's what I've been doing. So, Chris?
So, I've been jumping back into Monster Hunter World. They have the Horizon Zero Dawn quest going on for Aloy's armor that I'm working towards. That quest is a hunter rank 11. I'm at, I think, 7 or 8. So I'm getting there, though I'm kind of stuck in this weird story area where I don't have access to crafting for new armor or weapons. I can't upgrade mine either. Well, I have to take down one of the monsters. I'm having trouble with it. So I gotta either figure out a way to get out of there, back to the original base, or I don't know. I don't know what's going on right now, but that's been a little bit annoying, but the rest of the game has been really good. So I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. Also been playing No Man's Sky. I jumped back into that, and it's really interesting game. With the updates they put out in the last 6 months or so, the story stuff is pretty interesting. I'm working towards finding this person named Artemis that I've been finding hints about, and he is another traveler like me, though I don't have much memory of being one of those, I guess, rather than happening to do everything that they do. So just going to different worlds, exploring all that stuff. I had to set up three sort of beacons to help triangulate the signal and all that stuff. Now I need to do a couple more things, but it's pretty cool. The stuff they've added to that. I look forward to putting some more time into that. And I've also been playing Moss, the new PSVR big game from, I forget what their name is, their studio in Seattle. It's their first game. It's a really cool way to do a VR game. So you're kind of the, like a god kind of figure in the forest. If you find water, you look down, you kind of look like No Face from, crap, what's the movie? The Studio Ghibli movie.
Oh, from Spirited Away?
Yeah, that kind of look, yeah, kind of have like a mask like that on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of looking down upon this, the creature named Quill. She is a mouse who has, I guess, kind of been chosen by the, I forget what they call the godlike figures that you're supposed to be, but you essentially come upon her when she finds some sort of crystal, and it's essentially the game itself is an action-adventure game with some puzzles in there. You take down, so far it's been mostly just these sort of beetles, but also doing puzzles. Like right now I just got the recent ability to grab them, to drag them over to these sort of pressure pads to have them weigh them down to open up doors or other things that I need to get around. What's neat is it tracks the motion controls with the DualShock 4. And that is sort of a cursor that you control to move things around to help Quill get around.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's kind of a normal-ish action-adventure game. Lots of fighting, puzzle, platforming, stuff like that. I've been finding some of the collectibles that are around. It's usually these sort of scrolls you find, or these kind of pieces of like a stained glass window. Mm-hmm. Not sure entirely what that is working towards, but I can see sort of my progress on that in the main menus. But so far it's been really cool. I look forward to putting some more time on that. But got a video of that up on the YouTube channel for people to check out, though the video kind of stops right before they start doing all the combat, which is about 30 minutes in. Mm. Before that, you're kind of just doing platforming and solving puzzles, which is pretty cool. They do some cool parts, like between chapters you pull out to a storybook, and you kind of have to use the cursor to actually like move the pages as it tells you the story, what's going on, all that sort of stuff, which is a pretty cool way to present the story stuff instead of just doing like typical cutscenes. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Look forward to putting some more time into that. And that's been mostly it. We got new videos on the 10 Tons of Switch little series I've been doing. There was Neon Chrome and Judge. Well, the first two, and this past week I also did one for Sparkle Unleashed, which is one of their puzzle games, which is kind of just Zuma.
Yeah.
But instead of controlling this thing in the middle that is spinning around to shoot the balls, you're kind of controlling like a breakout paddle.
Okay.
So you kind of move around a bit more. And as you get combos, it'll drop power-ups, which can do things like freeze the path, sort of slow it down, or give you kind of spread shots, that sort of stuff, to take out more of the gems that are on the going on the path. And yeah, as you do play more of that, you unlock more of these power-ups. And I think there's 5 or 6 categories. So you can sort of pick upgrades of them. It's like one of the power-ups was just you get to take one shot, I think twice, at the path of gems. And it upgrades to 5. You take it once. It's kind of a spread shot. I think the third version is 9 shots. So it kind of lets you just break out a bunch of those if you can, or just if you're in the kind of a hectic part, you can just kind of clear out some for you. So it's a pretty neat little puzzle game. I'll have another one coming up for tomorrow for a game called Askend 2, which is part like object find. You're looking at like these images, just finding the objects on there. As well as just parts. Another kind of puzzle game, kind of like, I guess, Candy Crush Saga. That sort of thing, where you get the... Though it has more the mechanic where you have these like frozen blocks that you have to make matches around it to break them. Mm-hmm. Sort of allow you to use that part of the grid.
Yeah, the freeze mode from Vegeta 3, which was irritating as fuck.
Yeah, that... Mm-hmm. That's the thing when I see like ads for mobile games and in mobile games, like there's just games that just do that constantly. It's like that and all the games that you see that are, you know, bust a move.
Yeah.
It's like, God, can't you guys come up with an original idea here? Nope. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
But that'll be going up tomorrow. Yeah, that's been it.
All right. So we'll get into the show proper, to steal a word from Brandon, because I have no originality. So we're going back to the
70s. I'm calling my lawyer.
So we're going back to the 70s now, apparently, because Atari is making a new Knight Driver game. First of all, Atari still exists, apparently.
Who knew?
Yeah, well, they did those Zoo Tycoon games, and I think they're still doing those, and they tried the Atari box, and apparently that turned out to be not so good. Didn't actually release it, so I don't even know if it's still being released, but whatevs.
Yeah.
So they put out a little teaser trailer for what looks like a very generic type racing game set at night, and they're calling it Knight Driver. So...
Okay. No, Endless, like, platformer game.
Yeah, basically.
Except it's driving.
Yeah.
I see ads for these things as well. Sometimes they turn into a shmup as well.
Yeah. So I have no idea what this is going to be. It may end up being mobile. It may be console. We don't know.
No, they're saying it's mobile.
Yeah. So, mobile. Okay.
Joy. Yeah, that's the way the resolution looks.
So this is what Atari is doing.
So it already has zero relevance.
Yeah, so...
Yep.
Yeah. Shame, because, you know, it would have been fun to have something, you know, like that on a console that was actually good.
Yeah.
You know, when something is on mobile, I think it automatically kind of gets discounted for us. It's like, yeah, we're not... That's not where we want to play our games. Really.
So. Yeah, it's a time-wasting platform.
Yeah. It's not something where you deliberately sit down to actually spend time with.
You know? You don't game on mobile because you want to. You game on mobile because you have to.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I would recommend like Race the Sun if you want that style of game on console, but done well.
Mm-hmm.
That's got all the sort of challenge stuff in there. It's like, hey, get this far and collect this many power-ups on this run, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But also you get upgrades and such to let you go farther more easily.
Yeah.
That game's really cool.
If you've been a PS Plus member for a while, you probably already have it. So.
Yep. So it's got VR support on PSVR, which is crazy.
Yeah. So, moving on from there. If you're on the PC, you probably may have heard that Chrono Trigger dropped a port onto Steam. Well, Square Enix, port of Chrono Trigger onto PC. It's a port of the mobile version. Yeah, and
that's what they've been doing.
Yeah. it really looks like it.
Oh, yeah.
This is what Final Fantasy IX was on the PS4. It's like, yeah, that's what the text boxes look like and the font. It's like you guys couldn't even make it look like it's not a mobile game.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's like,
which is weird because they actually do some really good work with their classics, like Final Fantasy XII, the X Collection, the Kingdom Hearts Collection. Those are all really well done.
Yeah, it seems like they got two teams doing these things. One of them is taking more time and doing the actual proper console ports, and there's one who's just throwing out these mobile ports. So.
Yeah, it's almost like at times they can be the cheapest publisher in the industry.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's throw this trash on here. Because why not? Who gives a shit about Chrono Trigger?
Except everybody. So, you know, they had a really good opportunity here, and they kind of blew it, but I think the community is going to probably step in and fix this, as they tend to do with all the other stuff, mobile ports that have shown up.
Something that kind of gets lost in the mix here is that despite anything that's been said up to this point, it is still Chrono Trigger.
Yes. That is very important to keep in mind. It's also like, well, beyond emulation, probably also the only other legal way you're going to get to play Chrono Trigger on the PC. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, keep that in mind. It's also not, you know, particularly expensive. So.
Mm-hmm.
What else we have here? Oh, just drop this in. Square Enix is teasing another Valkyria profile.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, this weird trailer, it says nothing. It says Valkyria. Valkyrie Profile Lyneth. It's maybe a remaster of that?
Mm-hmm. Or a console port of the remake.
Yeah. That's a thing that is apparently going to happen. we literally have no more information to tell you other than that.
Yeah, they launched a Twitter account called VP_Lyneth, all caps.
Yeah.
So you know there's Japanese people doing that?
Yeah.
Capitalize
everything.
Let's see.
Yep.
Yeah, their first tweet, the one they have pinned from today, Valkyrie Profile Lyneth, tweets information.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll wait for some of that information.
Well, we know there's going to be information, so that's...
Yeah, so we know there will be information.
And I think one of the hashtags translated his first tweet. So,
congrats.
We got our bot working.
Yep. So, real quickly here, we have March's PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold games. Some pretty decent stuff here on the PS4, anyway. You're getting Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank. Those are headliners.
Both great games.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. PS3, they got Legend of K. Don't play that. Mighty No. 9. That's that PS4 either. And PS3.
Yeah.
They're giving both versions for that. For Vita, Claire Extended Cut, which also comes with the PS4 version.
Don't play that either.
And the game's always cheap, and I'm like, no. There's a game called Bombing Busters for the Vita and PS4, which I'm going to take a wild guess. It's Bomberman.
Probably.
Let's see. Google. Yep.
It's totally Bomberman.
Yeah.
Oh, well. If you did want to play some Bomberman-style game on the PS4, at least that's something you could do.
A player online, so.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, if you like, continue to scroll down to that post. They kind of announced that as of next year, they're going to be dropping PS3 support from the PS Plus service. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. So no more titles for PS3 or Vita.
Yeah. So
as long as they don't drop PS3 support for PSN, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, I think that
they say saves and all that stuff. The cloud save stuff is all going to be continuing.
Yeah, they're just going to focus PS Plus service on PS4.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Which.
Because I think at this point, people are so invested in PSN across all platforms that they have to keep it rolling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good month for PS Plus on the PS4.
It's good they're giving a full year heads up on that.
Yeah, instead of just doing it. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, based on the nature of the subscriptions, that's probably what they had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. They also even link you to how to turn off auto renewal if you don't want to continue.
Yeah.
If you somehow subscribed only for the Vita games or PS3 games.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, there's that. And then there's Games with Gold on the Xbox One, which is kind of a not-so-great month.
Nope.
Well, you got Trials of the Blood Dragon, which is amazing. And then you got Super Hot. So those two are good games.
Yeah.
The two backwards compatibility games for Xbox One, though, not so great. Brave, a Disney licensed game, and Quantum Conundrum, which we've seen for years and years and years.
Yeah. That game's good. If you like Portal, it's very much in that style.
Yeah.
But I imagine most people that were interested in that have it.
Yeah, we have it already. Because, if you also had PS Plus, you got this on the PS3 years ago. So, yeah. Still, you get Super Hot and Trials of the Blood Dragon. So those two Xbox
One games. Definitely play Super Hot.
Yeah. It's super hot.
Hot. Yeah.
Super.
And if you want to see one of the most interesting first-person shooters of the last few years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get that.
Also one of the most stylish. I don't think there are many games that look like Super Hot does. So,
no.
Yeah, very, very, very cool stuff.
Just Super Hot VR.
Yeah.
That might be even better.
Yeah, I can only imagine that game in VR would be pretty darn insane. So those are your freebies for the month. I think the PS4 is coming out a little ahead this month.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of hard to compete with Bloodborne and Ratchet & Clank in the same month. So, yeah. So moving on to our actual discussion topics of the week, and we'll start with the stupidity of the week. President Trump is apparently going to be meeting with game industry representatives to talk about violent games and their role in apparently Parkland shooting.
Which is a complete surprise to the people at the Entertainment Software Association, because they had absolutely no news that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And they haven't heard from any members that said, we're going to that. We've been invited.
It's who are they actually talking to? We don't know, because it's not us.
ESA represents, Activision Blizzard, Bandai Namco, Bethesda, Capcom, Deep Silver, which is now THQ, Electronic Arts, Epic, Konami, Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, Square Enix, Take-Two, Ubisoft, and Warner Brothers.
Hmm.
If you're not talking to any of those people, I don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah. I wonder if they just bypassed the ESA and actually, went out to some of the companies themselves, but... Yeah, you'd think that even if that would have happened, they would have probably reported back to the ESA. So
yeah, I think the other companies would be like, "Oh, I heard that person's going."
Yeah,
that sort of thing, because that wouldn't be a secret people would keep.
Yeah.
I'm
just thrilled about all of this because clearly he has not followed his history enough to know how this has ended for literally anyone who has ever picked this fight.
You know how this happened. It's because somebody on, I'm guessing, I don't know, Fox and Friends or something brought it up. And so because he watches that show religiously, he sort of got wild hair up his ass and decided, oh, we need to do something about this.
Yeah. And do we even know if the Parkland shooter actually played any games? Because apparently that's still a detail that I don't think has actually been revealed. So,
considering his, his overall demographic and profile,
I'm probably guessing.
Yeah,
it's probably a safe bet, or I don't know. Either way, this is one of those things from the '90s that I kind of wish we didn't have to relive. But
yeah.
Here we are.
Well, first things first, and this needs to be said, because of the Supreme Court, video games are in fact protected speech in the United States.
Yep.
So there's not really much he can do about it.
Yeah, the one connection Trump has to the industry is his brother is on the board at ZeniMax, owners of Bethesda.
Yeah.
Along with a bunch of other high-profile people.
Yeah, like...
I think
Bono was one of them, though. No, that's not him. Anyways.
Let me see.
Yeah.
I don't know where... I'm trying to find out who else is on this thing.
I know there's a couple of actors that are... Hollywood actors that are... in there.
Yeah, there's like a director.
Yeah.
A couple other things.
So there's some, you know, clout on that board.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Jerry Bruckheimer, Leslie Moonves, CEO of CBS.
Yeah.
Kyle Ripken Jr.
Oh.
Harry Sloan.
I wish he wasn't around.
Let's see. Robert Altman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like weird names you wouldn't expect to be heading up a company that owns a video game publisher.
Well, they're basically all producers, so
yeah.
they all have fingers and a lot of pies. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah,
they enjoy having their names on stuff they don't actually make.
Yeah. Plus, you know, Bethesda isn't all that ZeniMax has, going for them.
No.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That in mind.
They've basically spent the last few years building their own personal Death Star.
Yeah, basically. So.
And I think we kind of reported on it that way in an early episode of the show.
Yeah. So this will happen sometime, assuming everybody can get their ducks in a row and actually figure out who's going.
It's supposed to be sometime this week.
Yeah, so somebody needs to know who's going. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. I'm not expecting there to be a whole heck of a lot of anything that comes of this, to be honest. Because, there's just too many interests here.
It seems like the sort of thing he says, and then everybody's like, wait, what? We didn't know about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, you should maybe, you know, think a little bit more and tweet a little less kind of thing, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they don't want to do anything about the guns.
Oh, yeah, that's the real issue.
Gotta find something else.
Yeah, they don't want to actually deal with the real problem and just want a scapegoat, basically.
Yep.
And, you know, the video game industry has been through this already, so, they're not gonna... they're not going to go down without a fight, basically.
Here's another thing. Those games are in most countries around the world.
Yeah.
Mm.
And, they don't have
we don't get the same shooting. Effects that they do.
Yeah. So don't think it's the violent video games, folks. Because last time I checked, a Call of Duty disc can't pull a trigger.
That's true.
Yeah. So... moving on from there, we got another interesting little bit of news from the ESRB. They're adding a label to their game ratings for in-game purchases. Of course, this is, you know, in light of the whole loot box controversy and everything like that. So what they've basically done is added a label that encompasses loot boxes, expansion packs, season passes, levels, skins, other downloadable content, anything that is a microtransaction, which means pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Rendering this label completely and utterly useless.
They are calling it the first step of many, though.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're going to implement something like this, you could at least...
single out loot boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, actually start getting to the issue that you're supposedly trying to get to rather than just putting a blanket thing that's basically going to appear on every single game that comes out with a handful of exceptions, you know, because there are some games, well, the indie stuff in particular, that tend to not ship with DLC or season passes or anything of that nature. So, yeah, you're going to see this on pretty much every AAA game, regardless of what it is. It's just going to be there. And then there's, of course, we should point out, a very, very obvious loophole that I'm sure some people have
probably. You mean all they have to do is not announce it until after the game goes gold?
Yep.
Yeah, you basically pull a Forza and add your microtransactions after the game has launched. Because nobody's going to
re-rate
it.
After the game and all the reviews are out.
Yeah. So, yeah. Congratulations, ESRB, for doing the absolute minimum possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what we've expected. But the first step of many, as they say, let's just hope they keep taking those steps and actually make it into something that's, you know, going to be useful. But they're going to be dragged into it, basically. It's going to require regulation for them to get their butts in gear. So, because that's what it took for the IDSA to form in the first place. That, not regulation, but the threat of it. So, here we go again. Yeah. God damn it, that video game industry. Can you not, like, screw everything? No. Anyways. And now we get to our rumors. Oh, this one's good.
Yeah.
So, is Apple going to be making another game console?
Not if they know what's good for them.
Yeah, but according to a patent filing here, they're actually filing patents for what looks to be a game console. They've got talent from the PlayStation division, former Sony persons, on staff.
Those are the right people to talk to.
Yep.
To hire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there may be something to this. I doubt you would file something like this if it's something that you intend to just put into the Apple TV. But getting into this kind of a market right now, that's going to be difficult.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, Apple doesn't care enough about gaming to do the legit push. That's why the Apple TV failed the way
it did. There's no way they're going to do it right.
Yeah, I mean, the possibility is there that they could do it right and actually start taking it seriously, but even if they do, it's still a big ask to get into this market. You've already got, you know, three established players that you're getting into and trying to take market share from, and you can't really do that with, you know, the typical mobile ports that you're seeing on, you know, the Apple TV and stuff, so
yeah.
This would have to be something ultra premium, ultra powerful. It would basically, you know, to really stand a chance, it would basically have to be a real 4K console in this day and age that, you know, the developers would want to put effort into.
Yep.
One thing Apple does have is a brand cache. So,
yeah.
Yes. You know, just, they can push something like this just on their name alone. Because, yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, what is your take on this, guy?
I to be completely honest, they could do this and fail and still afford to do it. But,
and that's the problem in a way.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not the 90s anymore. You know, you can't just, you know, the current sort of console landscape is so thoroughly and solidly established that it's pretty much impossible to try and draw away any kind of player base from what we have now. I don't see it working.
Yeah, I definitely don't see it working if they're, you know, if their main focus is to do a set-top box. Even if they go, you know, like I said, super powerful, actual hardcore gaming console. Yeah, it's
are they interested enough?
Yeah, are they interested enough? And more importantly, can they get developers interested? Because, yeah, I'm not
sure. Because, holy fuck, that's one more thing developers would have to do.
Yeah, to develop for this new Apple console when they're like, you know, we're making money hand over fist over here on the Switch. Why would I want to go over there that has no market share?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure this will continue to develop. We'll see how it goes. Maybe they'll announce something at E3. We don't know.
Uh-huh.
So,
I mean, if they announce a press conference on the schedule, then we know something's coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, just something.
And it would be really awkward for them to launch mid-cycle. Just putting that out there, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then again, the console cycles at this point are completely messed up anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I think they could pretty much launch whenever the fuck they want. But this is Apple.
Maybe a stopgap or something.
Yeah, well, they do whatever they're going to do, and that's just how Apple rolls. They don't really seem to follow any kind of
logic or convention.
Just
follow the Nintendo model.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
So
we feel like doing this, so we're going to do this.
Yeah. So next up, some Tekken news. Tekken World Tour 2018 has just been announced.
Yes. All leading up to a world finals in Amsterdam, which is an interesting place to end on. But, yeah, it's good to see the continued support for Tekken 7. And hopefully we continue seeing success for the game because it really deserves it.
Mm.
Yeah. And do we know about more DLC? Nothing came out with this announcement, just...
Nothing yet, but there are plenty of places for them to announce things.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on that. Announcements from us, actually. We got.
Yeah.
So
I had to put that in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're adding support for Soul Calibur 2. You have been spending a lot of time and adding a bunch of matches into the database.
Yes. There are some. Matches, Soul Calibur 2 matches in the database as I speak. I'm actually adding matches as I speak, and yeah, everything so far is from the old national tournament from 2003, but mm-hmm. I've got a whole mess of reels here that I'm going to be adding into the database, and be excited because there's a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new. We got plenty of footage from HD Online that we'll be adding, so yeah, there is no shortage of Soul Calibur 2 footage out there to feast upon, and I'm doing what I can to make it available to everyone as quickly as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I should also point out that that Street Fighter V Arcade Edition from Evo Japan is now in the database. Which was literally how I spent yesterday. So if you want some fresh Street Fighter V to take a look at, that's in there. And we've got Final Round coming up here in a couple weeks. So I'll be making that a priority as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, the World Warriors database continuing to develop. Content-wise, the site is still pretty bare. There's, like, really not much there.
Yeah, but, we're not launching until the 5th of April, so we've got another month.
Yeah,
but it's happening. It's happening. And
expect to start seeing a lot of changes and stuff over the next month because, it's going to start looking a little bit different and a lot nicer. So,
yeah, you've been doing a lot of the grinding on the coding front, and
yeah
that's going to go a long way, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So. Another rumor from this week. So Sega of Japan, well, just Sega in general, and Microsoft have been talking, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
The Sega Japanese Twitter account has been tweeting about it, and apparently they're very excited with what they're discussing. We have no idea what this is.
Nope.
But you don't go on Twitter and announce something with that you're talking to Microsoft if there's nothing there.
Microsoft just needs to adopt the Dreamcast branding as a as one of their software lines and get it over with.
Yeah, that's a possibility. So I just want to speculate on what we think perhaps is going on here.
Yeah. Well, that's mine right there. I think it would be very interesting if Microsoft did go in with Sega on a Dreamcast-branded line of new software.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of integrate that into its own section on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And hopefully it would carry with it a mess of game announcements that were consistent with the spirit of the games that appeared on the Dreamcast. I think that's the best thing they could do. And once again, we've talked about this since before the Xbox launched.
Yeah.
This is something that everything is perfectly in place for. They just need to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah.
And I'm really astonished that they haven't already.
Yeah. I mean, there's some people who are speculating that Microsoft may be looking to acquire Sega, which, as far as complexity of actually making that acquisition happen, is a lot easier than it would be for EA.
It's a lot easier than it would have been just a few years ago, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I don't think, is off the table. But
I don't want them to fuck up things that are going on right now, though, either.
Yeah, so, you know, even if Microsoft was interested, I don't think Atlas is interested in divesting the brand right now. Mm-hmm. It's on the rise. There is a lot of really good stuff happening with them. Their amusement division is seeing an uptick again. You know, it's good things for Sega right now. They're not making a huge amount of money, but they're not in debt either.
Well, so, keep in mind that Sega is the controlling entity, not Atlas.
Yeah, it's kind of the other way around now. So,
yeah. Well, Atlas is the most successful arm of the company, but they are under Sega management.
Yeah. So here's one possibility that I think everybody has overlooked, and I think it's actually the most plausible. Yeah. How about Dreamcast backwards compatibility? Disk-based. Microsoft has the tech to do it. They're the ones who wrote the Dreamcast operating system in the first place.
So does the Xbox One actually have the ability to read GD-ROMs?
Yeah, it does. A GD-ROM is nothing more than a CD with a slightly higher focal length.
Well, fuck, make this thing happen and then add games online for backward compatibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I talked about this when we were talking about the whole Retrobit thing with the Dreamcast and the Saturn. It makes no sense without new software coming down the pipeline or a new way to acquire software. And anything that you do with Dreamcast backward compatibility, in order to be successful, by definition would have to include some sort of online marketplace, which Microsoft has in place already. So,
And
that would be a hell of a way to
Dreamcast section on the Microsoft Store for the online titles that can be played via backwards compatibility, or if you got the disc, you can throw it in. And
I would buy the shit out of those.
Mm-hmm.
And if they added Saturn for good measure, so much the better.
Yeah. So there's, at this point, there's enough smoke that there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Microsoft's E3 this year has the potential to be very, very interesting.
I think it has to be, or else it's going to just be a dud.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. You know, it's like it could be the third year in a row they continue to announce backwards compatibility because yeah, they did it with the 360 to much aplomb. And, yeah, people are actually using that feature,
mm-hmm.
Unlike what a lot of people had thought. Last year, we got the original Xbox BC.
And then nothing after that first wave.
That's a little bit disconcerting. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to hopefully improve soon because I'm starting to get the sense that maybe they're tying that to the Game Pass. And, you know, releases of games are kind of limited by that. But I don't know. that one will have to be
revisited
after. Yeah, definitely revisited, because the first batch of games that they put on there are pretty good. The improvements that their emulator has allowed them to make are, you know, especially in the case of like Ninja Gaiden Black, is nothing short of stunning, because you can play that in 4K on the 1X.
It doesn't ruin it.
No, it doesn't ruin it. It actually looks really good. So, and they can apply that kind of technology to the Dreamcast. I think they might have something here.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Just imagine that if the Xbox One turns into the backwards compatibility system.
Oh, man.
Mm.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it already kind of is that for me because of all the Xbox 360 fighting games I have on there and stuff like that, but it would wear that very well.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it's you know, it's something that they could definitely tout over Sony, because Sony has no backwards compatibility.
Sony's apart been from, slack.
Yeah, you know,
well, they've got PS2 some, stuff. But it's just it's just cherry picked PS2 titles that they plugged trophies into.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Which don't get me wrong, I love me some trophies, but I also love having a good variety of games to select from. And Sony hasn't really been doing so well on that front in the backward compatibility side of things.
Yeah. Mm. And of course, you know, Microsoft is taking the extra step of allowing people to just use their old discs. So
yeah,
that's, you know, that's the real value add on the Xbox platform right now.
That's true.
So we'll keep following this. I expect Phil Spencer to be announcing, you know, a Dreamcast project with Sega. You know, maybe they just do the same thing and show a nice little Dreamcast boot up stinger like they did with the Xbox One, and across the crowd will just
I was gonna say that would blow the roof off the place by itself.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because one thing we all know is the Dreamcast is well beloved, and rightfully so.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from consoles of the past, we're going to go to consoles of the present. See what I did there? That's called a segue. And see, that's how you ruin a segue, by explaining what you just did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. But anyway, the Switch launched this week, last year. I think we should look back a little bit at this year and kind of, you know, reminisce a little bit and point out the highs, the lows, and how the Switch is doing overall. So, I don't think it would be a stretch to say that this is probably Nintendo's best year in a long time. Even the original Wii, I don't think, had the same kind of success as this.
Mm.
It's close, but...
Yeah,
it's close.
I really would say that this is better, if only for the fact that it's for all the right reasons.
Yep.
The Wii was successful because Nintendo was kind of moving away from the hardcore gaming side of things and appealed to the mass market, in a lot of ways leaving us behind in the process. The Switch, on the other hand, was right in the strike zone for us, and... You know, I feel happily catered to now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge difference. And yeah, I think that in and of itself makes a stronger case for the Switch.
Yeah. So I know that Chris and Pat have both had their systems since launch.
Yes.
How are you guys feeling about it as far as living with it for a year?
I'm fucking thrilled. I haven't been feasting on the software as much as some people have, just due to things coming out elsewhere and other expenses, and just a general disinterest in some of the stuff that has been rolling out. But I know that's on me. That's not on Nintendo. It's on... Like, I just don't have that innate interest in Super Mario 64-style Mario games. I don't have that interest in Splatoon. But, you know, from what is coming out, especially on the digital storefront, I couldn't be much happier with my Nintendo Switch. And frankly, I'm just waiting to see what other franchises they can get involved because, you know, we had this conversation way back with the Wii and the Wii U, where it would be very easy for Nintendo to just take out the shovel and say, here, have all of the franchises. And they finally seem to be getting that mentality, that realization that Nintendo games are not inherently competing with all other Nintendo games. If you release it and it's good, we will buy it in whatever volume we need to. And so this could be, you know, if Nintendo takes a look at things and realizes, hey, this was a total success, open the floodgates, that would be the best thing they could ever do for themselves. And at that point, you could pretty much have a success that dwarfs the Wii.
Yeah. So, what about you, Chris? How's your first year with the system been?
It's been pretty good. It's definitely highlighted some of my concerns about the form factor of the Switch not being good for the way I want to do things. So it's too big to be portable. I don't commute and ride with somebody else or on public transportation, so the opportunities for me to use it out and about is next to nil, at least with this sort of form. So it definitely makes me hope they iterate on the hardware the same way they have with the 3DS and DS and offer some other form factors, like maybe a Vita size Switch that just has the Joy-Cons attached would be pretty cool. As well as maybe even just a sort of PlayStation TV style console that just hook up to the TV so I don't have to worry about, oh, I accidentally yanked the wrong cord and my Switch and dock fell off the off my little entertainment center. I was like, well, fuck. She can break it easily that way, too. Things like that, just the physical hardware is not great. And but otherwise, I've been enjoying it a good bit. Zelda was really good. Mario was really good. There's some good games. The eShop needs to be worked on because it hasn't really changed all that much. They just made it easier to find demos on there.
Yeah.
And have some sorting options if you just want to look at everything. But still, like, just trying to find the deals, it's just a randomized list.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. You can't sort it. You can't sort it on the, you can on the website, though the website easily breaks. And I found out recently they don't display the end date for the sales. So you have to go to the specific consoles to find out when those deals end, which is dumb. But then I ended up looking at the UK version of Nintendo.com, their eShop store, and they actually listed them. It's like, what the fuck?
So they can do it there, but they don't do it on North America.
Anyway, just doesn't care about telling people, hey, this ends, you know, on Thursday.
Yeah.
No. You're just like, I don't know. But you can review games. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, you could for about 3 days.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we're still reevaluating this. Like, what, do you want the reviews or not? It's like, do you want them to be hidden like they are on the 3DS and Wii U, where you have to go to a specific setting that's hidden in there? Like, hey, here's the games you can review. And it gives you, like, three categories to rate it on. That's just real weird.
Yeah.
It's almost like that, the Wii Vote channel.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like,
oh, I missed
trying
that.
To do dumb, like, study stuff, study-style questions. Like, is this for adults or kids? Boys or girls? Like, I don't know. That's not me. So let me tell you who I am, and then you do all that fucking for me. Because I'm not reviewing this, so the moms out there know that this game is not for their kid. Yeah, they got plenty to work on, I hope to see them actually addressing it. And we also saw the weird thing that happened as they approached the year thing with the playtime stuff kind of mysteriously just disappearing.
Yeah.
The profiles. So they said, we're going to figure this out and tell you in a couple weeks. A couple of weeks.
It doesn't.
Three years later.
Yeah.
Hey, you played Zelda for 138 hours.
Yep.
Okay.
And now you played it for no time at all.
Yeah.
And you somehow have a full completed save file.
Yeah. I definitely hope they get to more of their catalog of IPs, not take too long like they have in the past, because things like Animal Crossing would be really cool to have, especially since they've been kind of updating the 3DS game for, when did that come out, like 2013, 2014, something like that? That was a while ago. Mm-hmm. That still gets updates to add new content. It's like, just give me the new one. You weren't ever going to do a Wii U one.
Yeah.
Except for that stupid party board game thing. Yeah, give us that. Because you know what? People like to take that on the go.
Yeah.
Kind of like the mobile game, but better. We got Kirby coming up. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, Kirby's coming. Metroid is coming. I'm pretty sure Pokemon is inevitable.
Yeah, they're working on that.
Yeah. Any warping on your parts? Because I know that's actually a thing.
If I have had some, it's not noticeable. But then again, I never play the game in portable mode anyway. It is docked 100% of the time. So
yeah, you might actually be warped and not be able to see it.
Yeah. But that would also tell you how much I care.
Yeah. Well, you might care a little more when you can't get the damn thing out of your dock anymore.
No. I would just continue playing it the way I always have, but yeah. I might be a little bent about it, but
yeah, it's I think they kind of need to re-jigger that dock a little bit, at least put some ventilation there, because that's all it really needs.
Yeah, that's true.
There are actually some third-party docks that address that. And they're smaller and
probably cheaper.
So yeah, well, they are cheaper because they don't have the internals. You actually have to take those out of your regular dock and slap them in. Yeah. Actually, I think Nyko has one that's full, that's complete. So if you don't want to do the if you don't want to gut your dock, you can just get the third party one, and that will work just as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think on the software side, it's kind of hard to argue that Nintendo hasn't been doing really well.
Yeah.
Hardware side, probably want to be, you know, some small revisions here and there just to smooth things out a little bit. I mean, it is a first effort at this form factor. Maybe a Switch S or something, you know, just smooth it out.
And remember, they did ask Foxconn for 20 million of these in 1 year.
Yeah. And Foxconn went, are you out of your fucking mind? So, yeah, that's not happening. Accessory prices really need to come down. It's just ridiculous what they're charging for their controllers and docks and SD cards, they actually did come down a bit. So
when your Pro Flight Stick is the most reasonably priced piece of hardware that you offer, there's a problem.
Yes, that is a very large problem.
And people are coming up with USB Bluetooth adapters that let you use like a DualShock 4, the Wii U Pro Controller, because those are more reasonably priced.
Yeah.
That definitely says a lot. As well as just the general quality of the Pro Controller. Things like the D-pad is not great on it.
Really?
Yeah. It's an alright D-pad, but it's not as good as like you would expect out of Nintendo.
Yeah. Going into year two of the Switch, I think we're all kind of we're all anticipating good things from Nintendo at this point. They've got the momentum. They've got the third parties on board, which was a huge question when the Switch launched, whether they would be able
to
keep them. Now it seems like they have done exactly that. So, good thing coming for the Switch, I would say.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, do you want to say anything, Brandon? Because I know we kind of monopolized this whole conversation, but... So.
Well, I haven't had my Switch quite as long as Chris and Pat have. I only got on Christmas of last year, but I am definitely getting a lot of mileage, though. Yeah, I'm definitely getting a lot of mileage out of it, though. Right now I've got Super Mario Odyssey, I've got Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I've got Splatoon 2, and I've also got a Golf Story and the Project Octopath on the console downloaded, and I haven't finished any of them. So, that's a lot of mileage, and yet I'm still playing all of them very, very often. So, there's a lot of mileage to be gained out of that.
How do you play your Switch? Are you docked 100% of the time, or?
It's docked about 80% of the time. I will take it out and play it portable but only when like the Joy-Cons need to be recharged. Otherwise it's docked most of the time.
Yeah. And so nobody actually brings it with them, it doesn't seem like.
No, even though I have a case for it. I have that nice Zelda case from launch.
Yeah.
It holds my games really well, but I've never taken it with me.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's
nice to know that it's there if I should ever need it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay. So, happy 1-year anniversary to the Nintendo Switch. We're expecting good things in 2018. So.
Yeah.
And finally, we'll get to our picks of the week, and we'll close the show off with those. I'll start off with my pick of the week, which is a new video series that Game Hut, or John, is doing on YouTube. And if you want to learn how to program Sega Genesis games, he's going to show you how.
I would be interested in such a course.
Yeah. So he goes into he gives you some sample code there to start with, and over the course of the videos, he's going to teach you 68,000 assembly. It's going to be a lot of fun to follow that, and I might give this a look myself because what he's showing here kind of demystifies it a little bit. It's not as doesn't look as daunting as I would have expected assembly to look. So.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, yep. So give that a watch, download the files, and give it a shot. I mean, what do you got to lose? It's free.
Mm-hmm. And I certainly have game ideas in mind.
Yeah. And, it's a fun type of programming in that you're going to be working within limitations. And that, in and of itself, can lead to a lot of creativity. So... check it out and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be checking this as well. So
I'm going to have to give that one a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm next.
Yep.
So my pick of the week is I got it off of Game Informer. Apparently somebody went and they took a PT. Everybody remember? PT. It was basically what was supposed to be a teaser for the Silent Hills game that never came out because Konami is an asshole and basically shit canned Kojima.
Can't
make something people want.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we gotta take our last financial success and basically
shit
take it to the. Yeah, basically, you take it to what is the game the game development equivalent of a chop shop and mine it for parts. But what they did is they took PT and they kind of demade it. So it's they used it doing graphics from like the PS1 era. So
that's like actually a really good stylistic choice for a horror game.
Yeah, and it's very. I don't know whoever here played that game LSD, the Dream Journal Simulator.
Dream Emulator.
Yeah, it's actually very reminiscent of that, where it's just really eerie, random visuals. It has a very sort of similar to that. The point is, though, is that despite the PS era graphics, it is still absolutely terrifying.
Or maybe because of them.
It's 100%. Stylistically,
I think that could be fantastic.
Yeah, that is 100% possible. But, yeah, so...
Now, are they expanding on that and turning it into a whole game, or are they just sticking with
it? It looks like it was just sort of an experiment of theirs, okay. But just look at the link. But that's my pick. So, Pat?
So we've already covered on this show that Kimono Michi, we haven't talked about Kimono Michi on the show. We've talked about how Daigo Umehara is a genius.
Yeah.
And his genius has now introduced the fight card model of event to the fighting game community in the form of Kimono Michi.
Mm-hmm.
Did one of these earlier this year, basically just assembling a card of fights across various games in 1-to-10 money match style style series. And the first one was really good. The second one is coming up on the 10th. And so far we've already got videos hyping up each series. And it looks like it'll be a really fun event no matter what you play. We've got Kotaka Shoten versus Ito in a 1-to-10 on Super Turbo. We've got Tanukana versus Yu in Tekken 7, which will be an interesting Shaoyu mirror marathon. And then by far the main event, and this is probably going to go down as one of the best series ever played, and that is Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, Daigo himself taking on Tokido in a 1-to-10. And I've got links in the show notes to all the hype videos for these. Yeah, it really looks like you're kind of watching the pre-fight discussion videos from a UFC event or something when you're going over these.
This is an absolutely great idea.
Yes. It's something nice to fill in gaps between major tournaments, and I think there's as much of a place for it in today's fighting game landscape as there is for tournaments themselves.
Yeah, because one, it's a very focused event.
Yep.
You know exactly what you're going to be getting. Yeah, you know the personalities that are going to be involved.
You don't have to assemble very many people to make them happen.
Yeah.
They'll stream extremely well.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, this is something I want to see more of.
Yeah, Kimono Michi 1 is already up there on YouTube if you want to check it out. And the next one happens next weekend, as it turns out. Wow, the 10th is not far from now, so...
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Definitely check that out. Whether you're a fan of the old, the new, the 3D, the 2D, there's something for you to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Daigo is doing a really good job of assembling these, and I'm really looking forward to that series of his with Tokido because... That's going to be a fucking clinic, and there's going to be a massive sample size to come from it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, check that out this weekend. And, Kimono Michi number 1, as you said, on YouTube. So, give that a look.
Not hard to find.
Yeah. All right. So, Chris, what do you got?
So, there's a really good Critics' Choice sale going on PSN right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff in here. You know, there's Axiom Verge, $10. But they do have a lot of the big games from last year. Crash Bandicoot Collection is $24.
Yeah.
That is a good price. Yeah. Let me see what else is here. Gravity Rush 2 is $18. Gran Turismo Sport is $33. The Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition is $32. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice is $21. What else is here? There is Mortal Kombat XL for $10. Ooh. Next Machina is $6.
Jesus.
I'll be yoinking that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Neo, the Complete Edition is $25. Let's see. Okami HD is $14. Pyre is $10.
Okay, I'm going to check my bank account.
Yeah. Prey is $20. The South Park game is $30. Street Fighter V Arcade Edition is $30.
Jump on that shit.
Yeah. Tekken 7 is $30.
Oh, really, really good.
I wouldn't mind having that digitally.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Last of Us Remastered is $10. King of Fighters 14 Special Anniversary is $30. The Witcher 3 Complete Edition is $20. It's a good price for that one. Titanfall 2 is $6.
Wow.
People should definitely be getting that game.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Uncharted Lost Legacy is $20. The Watch Dogs 2 is $20. What Remains of Edith Finch is $11. Yeah, some real good games. If you missed out on some of these from last year or the year before that, there's a lot of really good stuff here.
I'm going to be checking my bank account after the show and seeing how much I can afford.
Yeah, PSN has a good promotion going on. Spend $100, you get $15 back. I think it ends on Tuesday night. So there's definitely plenty of stuff here to reach that.
Yeah.
Mm.
So good stuff there. Alrighty. So, I think we'll call it a show for this week. As usual, you can find us at smashpad.com, where the site lives. It's also on Facebook, facebook.com/smashpad, because that's a thing too. And of course, you can subscribe to the show at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, RSS feeds, whatever you fancy. We're around.
Before we sign off, I want to thank Aris over at Avoiding the Puddle for making all these Soul Calibur 2 Nationals videos available.
Yeah.
As of right now, it is completely imported into the World Warriors database, and it's some really good, really emblematic of the time footage from Soul Calibur 2, and has put our database up to 1,700 videos exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still growing. All right, so with that, I have been Filippo Dinolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And we'll see you all next week.